What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is The Joe Pomp Show. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. We have a great podcast to get into today because we're going to be breaking down the Premier League's new salary cap, and specifically how it has American influence kind of written all over. We'll get into the details of what's going to be happening and the consequences and potential benefits that it could bring to one of the world's top global soccer leagues. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode, but before we get into it, let's quickly hear from today's sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Hyperice. Hyperice is not only one of my favorite companies in all of sports, but they're also one of the fastest growing companies in sports today. Hyperice is the official recovery technology partner of leagues like the NBA, MLB, PGA Tour, and even the UFC. And you've probably seen athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland using their products. But Hyperice isn't just for pro athletes. Me, personally, I use their Hypervolt massage gun and vented heat and back wrap several times each week, and it's become an absolute game changer for my health and wellness. Not only is it helpful after hard workouts, but sometimes I just wake up and my back hurts because of how I slept. So I throw on the heated back wrap and it literally solves everything within minutes. It's absolutely incredible, the products that they built, and I want all of you to be able to experience it for yourself. So go check out Hyperice today and start recovering like a professional athlete. All of my listeners can use code JOE15 for 15% off their order. So make sure to go check out hyperice.com today and use code JOE15 for 15% off your order. All right, guys. So it's no secret that American investors have increasingly crossed the Atlantic to acquire equity stakes in the Premier League's top clubs. We're talking Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Manchester United, West Ham, Fulham, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, and Burnley. All now have some sort of American ownership. Some majority, others minority. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it. American sports teams now routinely trade at multi-billion dollar valuations. Soccer, as we call it here in America, is the world's most popular sport by far. And while executives from the Premier League's top clubs publicly fawn over the commercialization of the sports in America, an equal number of American investors privately criticize the Premier League's inability to monetize its audience to the fullest extent. Let's talk about the NFL, for example. Commissioner Roger Goodell has done his best to make the game global. But the league currently brings in more than $20 billion in annual revenue, and it's almost all exclusively from North American fans. Yet, that's still more annual revenue than the world's top five soccer leagues, the Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A, and League One, combined, despite those soccer leagues having a much larger global fan base. However, if it were as simple as buying a club, turning on the American playbook, and profiting billions, everyone would go do it. Instead, many of these successful investors underestimated the Premier League's unique challenges, including ever-escalating salaries due to oil-rich competitors and annual expenses that routinely surpass 70, 80, even 90% of a club's total income. That's without even mentioning promotion and relegation, which can eviscerate a club's balance sheet and set them back many years financially. This is precisely why many of these owners have spent years campaigning for changes across the Premier League. Remember, the Premier League runs on a shareholder model, with potential rule changes only requiring the support of at least two-thirds vote, or 14 out of 20 clubs, to be passed. And while I suspect none of them would say it publicly, it's sort of an open secret at this point that many of the most forward-looking Premier League owners have quietly been hoping that American ownership potentially could reach 14 teams in the future. The Super League, which would have boosted valuations by implementing a closed-league structure similar to the NFL and NBA, is the most obvious example of potential greed. But a salary cap structure was always going to be the first step. It's something that I've talked about for a long time and many others have too. And it's what we'll call the Americanization of the Premier League. And now it has arrived. That's because according to multiple reports, a majority of owners from the English Premier League, the EPL, have officially given league executives the green light to finalize a proposal that would place a hard spending limit on annual wages and transfer fees across the league. Now, there are still many unknowns, with the final vote not expected to occur until next month. However, the salary cap is expected to be calculated based on a 5x multiple of the annual TV revenue earned by the Premier League's poorest club. So I'll give you guys an example. If you look at Southampton last year, they finished 20th in the Premier League, literally last place, but they earned $131 million in TV revenue from the league. That means if you multiply that number, the $131 million, by 5, which is where the salary cap would be, that would have placed last year's salary cap at $650 million. With the core idea being that the salary cap will increase over time as TV contracts continue to get more lucrative year after year. The interesting part about this, though, is that it won't really change much in the short term. Chelsea was really the only club that would have exceeded the $653 million threshold last year. Man United came close once you add in transfer fees, but really everyone else was pretty far below that, with Man City, Arsenal, and others, Liverpool and so forth, right behind them. None of these clubs were really coming all that close outside of Chelsea, and we all saw how that worked out for them. Now, I don't consider myself a salary cap hater. In fact, I believe it is one of the core reasons we have so much parity across American sports today. Sure, guys like Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, LeBron James, and Stephen Curry, these guys are outliers, and they have proven that talent will always reign supreme. However, the salary cap objectively makes it so small market teams, we're talking the Green Bay Packers or the Cincinnati Bengals or the New Orleans Saints, can make the Super Bowl or a championship game too. The Premier League salary cap argument also makes a lot of sense when you think about the individual league itself. I mean, let me just give you guys a few examples. The top clubs in the EPL are currently spending 10 times more in salaries than the bottom clubs. There's a reason why Leicester City is the only club outside the EPL's Big Six to win a championship over the last 25 years. The current model of spending 70 to 90% of income on wages isn't sustainable either, and we can all agree that the recent trend of oil-rich countries buying up clubs like Manchester City and Newcastle United appears to be unsustainable. However, it's incorrect to say that a salary cap system doesn't include negative consequences too. For starters, a salary cap, in its simplest form, places a limit on player earnings. Many of these guys make a ton of money, and I don't expect fans to feel sorry for them. But the fact that the Premier League competes for talent against Europe's other top leagues, unlike in the United States where the NFL, NBA, MLB, etc., are really only competing against themselves, a salary cap could eventually dilute the talent pool in the Premier League. Think about it this way. If Manchester City can't pay Erling Haaland or Kevin De Bruyne what they want, they'll just go to Real Madrid or PSG, who seemingly have unlimited money to spend and don't have to abide by the same salary cap limitations. The potential punishment mechanisms don't really make sense either. For example, the EPL will probably deduct points from clubs that breach the annual salary cap threshold, similar to the system that's used today for clubs that violate profit and sustainability rules. But the problem is twofold. Number one, this system is not uniformly applied today, and there's no reason to believe that it will be uniformly applied in the future. And number two, the EPL would be much better off with a luxury tax system, allowing bigger clubs to spend more money if they choose and then redistributing that money to smaller market teams. Otherwise, a salary cap system could actually worsen parity, as it would effectively lock in financial advantages for the league's biggest clubs. The Professional Footballers Association has also said that they would challenge any hard cap on player wages, claiming that it violates European competition law. And that's without even considering the obvious consequences of everyday fans having to become professional bookkeepers, debating online whether they can sign specific players based on how it will impact the club's salary cap years down the road. I mean, us Americans, we know how this is every year with the NFL and NBA and the salary caps that are in place. Most importantly, though, EPL fans should be concerned about what this means for the future. Professional sports are a big business, specifically in America. But the Premier League has historically been so great because it has never really felt like a big business, despite the exorbitant salaries. Many of the stadiums are more than 100 years old. Season tickets often cost less than entry into a single NBA playoff game, and fan bases are ingrained within communities more than any other sport on the planet. It kind of feels like this is changing, though, if you had to ask me. The introduction of a salary cap may not seem like a big deal to everyone. They say that it will increase parity. Who doesn't love that? But the truth is that this is one step towards the increased commercialization of a sport. I've seen it before, and we all know what it looks like. Billionaire owners will make more money. Ticket prices will get more expensive over time, and fans will be left wondering, what happened? That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please do me a favor and just share it with a friend or two. Help me help you by making this podcast bigger and better than ever before. Otherwise, I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll talk later this week.